The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 22nd, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. Tonight we have a great story. We're going to hear from Miss Melinda Casey. And she's going to tell us a little bit about how her sister was involved in a domestic violent relationship, and her sister was murdered. So we're going to let Melinda tell us the whole story tonight and what's been going on since then. But before we do that, today's a very special day. It is Rob's birthday, and I want to wish my wonderful husband a very happy birthday and welcome him to the show.
Hey, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank my missus for always taking care of business as usual, and thank all our viewers and our fans across the world who tunes into our show every week, and just want to give a big shout-out to all our soldiers inside the prison walls, all 51 prisons across the country, and all our soldiers in the streets that's out here educating these youths and others about all this domestic violence, gangs, drugs, and different things. So without further ado, we're going to let Ms. Melinda formally introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Melinda Casey. I'm a nursing assistant by trade, and recently I've started joining forces with a domestic violence awareness program.
Amen. So, Ms. Melinda, I just want to get right to it. I would like for you to, you know, formally tell the viewers what's done took place in your life that's done changed your life, and let them know about that tragedy that has done took place.
Right. Well, March the 4th, I was listening to the 10 o'clock news, and I heard that a 47-year-old homeless woman had been stabbed behind Southside Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi. And I said, well, you know, my sister fits that description. And I called the hospital, and they verified that it was her.
Wow.
Go on, Miss Melinda.
She, you know, she had been in several abusive relationships, and each one got worse and worse. And, you know, she had lost her home recently due to non-payment of back taxes, and they lived in this wooded area behind the church that was known in town as Tent City. And, you know, we still don't know what caused the argument. All we know is that Robert Bass stabbed my sister on Friday, and she laid in a bed in a tent in the woods and bled out for 2 days. Until someone called for help. You know, she didn't make it. She got to the hospital. They used the pads on her trying to shock her, and it just didn't work.
So she became homeless. Her situation got so bad through all these domestic violent relationships that she ended up homeless?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, she had a problem with alcohol, and I tried many times to reach out to her, and, you know, for whatever reason, I feel like maybe she just lost hope somewhere along the way.
Wow.
So can you tell us, Ms. Melinda, you know, when you first started seeing your sister in these domestic violence relationships, you know, what kind of things would you reach out and tell her?
Yeah, I would remind her that she's the one when I was a little girl that taught me to stand up for myself. You know, I mean, she completely changed somewhere along the way. You know, would talk to her about AA meetings, and I told her that she didn't have to live in these situations with these people, and, you know, she would just get aggressive with me. And it put a strain on our relationship.
And do you notice, you say you're now working with domestic violence groups now?
Right. I've spoken at several Stop the Violence campaigns, and I'm doing this show now. I've been trying to go to several of the shelters around here and do some volunteer work, maybe do internships for my schooling.
Right. And, you know, with this domestic violence thing, I just want to say, you know, just tonight we was looking at TV, and it just disturbed me so bad that it was two episodes that came on TV, True Life Stories, where women is in these domestic violence relationships, but when they try to leave these relationships, everything go all bad, you know? And, you know, two women back-to-back got burnt up, set on fire by their husbands and, you know, partners, you dig? And it's just a disgusting thing how, once again, a drug dealer get a life sentence on the first time getting charged with selling drugs, but a guy who go out here and do the things they do to our women and our kids, they get a domestic violence class and 60 days, and then you come home to do the same shit. Excuse my language, but we keep it real
right.
here on the show.
Right.
What do you feel about that?
You know, it's sickening. I told the DA I felt like they mishandled the case from the crime scene all the way to the grand jury. And, you know, they told me that we're not allowed to know anything about this grand jury meeting for 6 months because they keep it a secret. We did not find out until almost 3 weeks later that this man had been out of jail. He got out of jail due to a lack of evidence.
You got a dead woman and you got a lack of evidence. Where they see that at? Where's the lack of evidence at when you got a dead body? Lack of evidence
right.
means we have no evidence at all, you know? We have no body, no nothing. But one thing I can tell you is that it's prosecutors all across this country have done convicted people without a body, without a gun, without any of that. Now, how can
right.
you go around here and not convict a man when you got a dead body in the place where
right.
he lived also?
Right, and you know, the assistant DA told my niece and I, and he kept saying it, he kept saying her being homeless and having a problem with alcohol weren't an issue, but he said it so much that we felt like it could have been. Because I tell you, the next day when we went to the crime scene, there sat a blanket covered in my sister's blood. You know, none of it was roped off. It was just wide open. And I'm like, you know, I don't really feel like they collected enough evidence, because when I asked the man what evidence they had, all he would tell me was about Robert Bass's T-shirt.
You got a T-shirt, but I guarantee you, if you was in any other state and somewhere else, they would have took that T-shirt and turned that T-shirt into a whole different thing, you know?
Right.
That shows me that whoever was handling your sister's case, from the DEA to the regular police, they was truly not interested in solving no crimes, you know? Now, we have another injustice case. I'm not going to mention the name on the air right now, but we have another injustice case where a woman got convicted and they had no evidence. You know? So, I mean, it's a crazy, crazy situation out here in this place we call America when it comes to crimes.
Right.
You know, and, you know, when you put your life in someone's hand and they supposed to be overseeing the crime, they got a choice to say, well, I don't even feel like working this crime. We'll just chalk this up. But a month down the road, another crime take place, and they all into that crime, you know what I mean? And done convicted the person, sent them to jail for life. So it's a iffy situation out here when it comes to these different crimes across America. But once again, they want to lock everybody else up except the person who actually is doing crimes. You know, selling drugs and all that is very wrong to do, and you should go to jail if you get caught. But at the same time, a life sentence don't fit that crime, you know? But
exactly.
If you're out here killing our women in domestic violence, life fit that crime because you are doing some bodily harm to another individual, and selling drugs and using drugs, that's a choice. Nobody can make you use drugs. That's your choice.
Right. And, you know, the detective kept assuring me this whole time that they had enough evidence for a conviction.
Right, but didn't want you to know nothing that was going on in the case.
Right, and then when they had a preliminary hearing, they never let us know any of that. The DA never called us to let us know that, you know, the grand jury was getting ready. My niece and I went there. We were calling every week. We were showing up, you know, at least once or twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You know, they kept us in the dark. And now all of a sudden we're being harassed by Robert Bass. And I went to the police department today. You know, I got a call saying to turn myself in for an assault that happened over by that church Wednesday. And, I was at work, and I get there, and they act like they don't know anything about it. And all they're telling me was, ma'am, avoid the area. Don't harass the man. I'm like, well, he's harassing us, you know. And my sister was the victim, and they're making it look like we're the bullies against the man that killed her.
Right.
Wow.
So what I want you to do, Ms. Melinda, right here on Nationwide Radio, I want you to put that man's name out here in the public, and I want you to let the people know where this crime happened at and the state that this crime happened in. And I want you to just let the people around the world know of this cruel injustice that's done happen, and this man is still walking the street.
Right. His name is Robert Julius Bass. He is 48-year-old white male. He is homeless. This happened in Jackson, Mississippi, on Raymond Road behind Southside Baptist Church. This man has since grown his hair out. He has a beard. He wears a do-rag over his head now, I guess trying to disguise himself. You know, he's a monster, and they just let him get away with murder.
Amen.
You know? And the whole time, you know, we're sitting there with the assistant DA, and these people are telling us that they're on our side, you know. And I'm looking at my niece, and this man sits there and just, I know this in my heart. I already know this. I didn't need to hear it. He's going to tell us, well, we don't know how you feel, and thank God we don't know. And I'm like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You really didn't have to say it like that, but, I mean, they just, I don't know.
Right. It's just, Now, what do you want people to know the seriousness about all of this domestic violence going on around the country, Ms. Melinda? You know, speak out about that right there. What do you want to see did about all of this domestic violence that's continuously to haunt our neighborhoods and haunt around the country? Because it's a global problem, just like drugs
right.
is a global problem. Domestic violence is a global epidemic as well.
Right. Well, people, I mean, not just women, you know, men and children, everyone needs to know they do not have to live like that. I understand people justify it. They make excuses because my sister made excuses. Not just for this man, but, you know, one in the past. There's no reason for that, you know, because it's only going to continue to escalate. And, you know, in my whole dealings with JPD, they don't want to be involved. They're like other people. When they see that, they like, well, she must have done something to deserve it, or it's not my business. I'm staying out of it. I'm turning a blind eye. That's not the way to do it. People are losing their daughters, their mothers, their sisters, husbands, brothers, children, you know, whatever. And it's just, it's not necessary.
Right. You know, and, you know, you told me before when I started talking to you on Facebook that, you know, your sister's daughter had, you know, had a hard time with this as well, correct?
Right, and the son also, her son does too.
Right, speak out about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's sad because I'm one of these protective type people, and there was nothing I could do to protect them. You know, the pain is just there. It's raw, it's real, and there's nothing I can say or do to help them. I did my best to round up some grief counseling for them, you know, if they wanted it. I try to check on them, do what I can for them. You know, it's hard having to see them go through that and not be able to do anything for them.
Right. And you know, also we definitely want to give a big shout out to Miss Linda Scarpa. She's the one who referred you to me and my wife's movement and radio show. So we would like to give a big shout out to her as well.
Exactly. I appreciate her and both of you so much.
So I'm gonna pass the mic to my wife and let her get involved with the situation as well. And once again, we just want to thank you for allowing us to have you on the show and to get your message out here because, once again, this domestic violence is a global epidemic disease and need to be definitely talked about and definitely some did about it because, like I said, you got a lot of people out here running for office, but every time you run for office, the only thing you could talk about is we waging war on drugs and we bringing mandatory life sentence on drug charges, but I ain't heard not one candidate out here waging war on domestic violence towards women and kids across the country. I ain't heard not one.
Right.
Right. Melinda, how was your relationship with your sister, and what's your sister's name?
Her name was Gina O'Flaherty.
Gina? So growing up, tell us a little bit about your relationship and how you guys grew up, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, growing up, you know, I was always up onto her. I looked up to her, and, you know, at that time I used to say I wanted to be just like her. And then as we got older, we kind of, you know, took different roads, and, you know, there was a little tension between us. Just because, like I said, you know, back then I'm overprotective, and I thought I could save the world, and, you know, I guess she thought I was, you know, infringing on her life. And, you know, we had a little tension as time grew on. And, you know, when I found out she was homeless, I'd been wanting to go check on her, but I had pneumonia earlier this year and my truck was in the shop. And by the time I was ready to go, you know, get ready to go check on her, this had happened 2 days before I planned to go because I made out a grocery list. You know, I was going to get her some groceries, mm-hmm. and I had checked on a shelter for her to go to, and once again, I was going to offer her that, you know. I was going to bring it up about her going to the shelter, and, you know, I didn't make it in time, and I have to live with that.
Right. Well, now, did the tension come in after she got into the relationships that became domestic violence and I mean, did all that kind of tie into your attention as sisters because you were trying to protect her and tell her what to do and what not to do?
It did, and, you know, some of it had to do with the drinking. She used to tell me that she didn't have a problem with alcohol. I'm the one that had the problem with it, you know, and I did have a problem with it. But, you know, I don't know, it just went on a downward spiral from there.
Wow. And so how long has it been since Gina was murdered?
She was murdered March the 4th. Well, technically he stabbed her on the Friday and she died that Sunday. So, you know.
She died a slow death out there.
Right.
Wow. You know, I want you to speak out. I want you to let everybody know your anger and your frustration because there's so many people out here that have children that are murdered, that have brothers and sisters, parents that are murdered due to defenseless violence, due to domestic violence, due to gang violence, due to just stupidity with kids having guns. And, you know, I want you to really put your feelings out and let people know how you feel. I mean, you know, it must be so hard.
It is. It's very frustrating. You know, my family didn't get any closure. There was no justice for my sister. It's hard. Sometimes I can't even put it into words to tell people. It's very frustrating. And then, you know, we have, I believe the whole victims' rights advocates as far as here in this state with my sister's case was a joke. You know, we tried to get help paying for her headstone, and they sent a letter basically saying that she was contributing to this lifestyle that led to her death, so they didn't help with that. You know, just there's no justice at all. And they're making it seem like Robert Bass is the victim and we're the ones picking on him.
Wow. And that's just crazy that he's still out here and you're able to see him and not do anything about it.
Right. I've seen him 3 times since last Thursday, you know, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, and he just stares me down.
Well, you need to go get a restraining order and let him violate that and then start taking him to jail.
Right.
I mean, if the law wants to play that way, I mean, you have to do everything in your power on your end to protect yourself. And let, you know, once he comes around, once you have that restraining order, you know, let him violate it and let him go to jail and let him go to court over it. And eventually you'll get him, you know, I mean, who knows if Gina's the only one that this has ever happened to from him.
Exactly, because I know, and I found out after the fact of, you know, this murder, he was homeless and he was in a relationship with another woman and they lived under a bridge off of Highway 80 in Jackson, and he used to prostitute this woman out to feed his drug and alcohol problem.
Well,
you
I
know,
bet there's a lot of other women out there that would testify against him. I mean, if you could find them, you know.
Right.
I know people that are living that lifestyle sometimes don't want to be found, or sometimes nobody even knows they're gone. Like
right.
You didn't know your sister was gone for a few days or dead, missing, until you saw something on the news.
Right, and I knew. I told my best friend, I said, I know this is my sister, and I don't want to make this call. But I had to, you know. And I tell people because, you know, if it doesn't affect you directly or someone close to you, all these people's lives are taken, no matter if it's domestic violence, you know, whatever, accidental. They become just a statistic, and that is sad, you know.
Exactly.
Is,
you know, and it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. You know, everybody that dies needs to be, you know, treated with dignity and respect, and everybody deserves a headstone. So, I, you know, whoever was treating you badly on that's just upsetting as well.
It really is, you know. And like I said, I don't have anything nice to say about the Attorney General, the DA, or Jackson Police. And I really didn't care for the Jackson Police Department before this, but now I don't have a care in the world for them.
You know, it's just so sad that so many things in our country are backwards, and, you know, there's so many laws that are crooked, and there's so many things that, you know, take advantage of people instead of help people. And, you know, it really, really is a corrupt world, or a corrupt United States. We have so many corrupt leaders and things that need to be changed. And we need people to vote and step up and help make these changes. You know, we have to try to change the future for our kids and our, you know, our youth. It's a big job. And gosh, you know, but people need to step up and start trying to make these changes.
They really do. And, you know, every now and then I'll see a glimpse of progress, but then I feel like we're just being knocked 2 steps back for every step we take.
So now, what kind of support do you have, or, I mean, who do you have in your family with you, first of all, and then who do you have as far as attorneys or support groups or anything that's trying to help you get justice?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I had spoken with a few lawyers, not only about this, but the way that area looked behind that church, because, you know, they want, and I love this church. You know, we grew up going there, so I've got love for the church. They want to, you know, put it out there that they're helping these homeless people because, you know, they let them take a shower once a week, or they offer them soup on Wednesday night, or have a lunch bag for them, you know, during the day, and they have Celebrate Recovery. Well, they're preaching all that and putting it out there in the spotlight. But at the same time, they had these homeless people living back here in a tent. And, you know, I've got pictures. You wouldn't believe just the piles and piles and piles of beer bottles that were out there.
Wow.
You know, my sister had a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket with a toilet lid on it that she used to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
You know, and I'm trying to tell them, how can you preach that at your front door and this is in your backyard? You know,
right.
So we no lawyer here wanted to touch us. I called about 22 different people. And the lady at the DA's office now, she suggested this man to me, this young man that is mainly through Louisiana, but he does some work in Mississippi. I called him several times. I left detailed voicemails. He would not call me back.
Wow.
So, you know, we've just had to kind of like feel our way through this whole process.
How does the church become liable for this if it was right behind their church and they were allowing them to stay there? They knew, obviously, that they were drinking and they allowed them to come and shout. I mean, how are they liable for anything that happens there?
Well, see, I'm not certain because I thought at one time they owned that land, but then I was told that the city owned it, and I never could get a heads or tail answer from that. But, you know, we even, and I did an interview with Fox 40 News. I did one at the beginning and one at the end, you know, when we found out the verdict or, well, what the grand jury decided. But I went to another station to try to get them to do a who's accountable segment of the way they were living. Those people, you know, we sent them the pictures, sent messages. I kept calling the news desk. They would not touch us. It's just like my sister was a victim all the way around, you know? And I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand how these people could do that because, you know, we didn't want money out of this. All we wanted to do was try to help these other homeless people and bring attention to how they were living and what the church was saying. And that preacher told me, and he also said it on the news, that the murder would have been out of character for Robert Bass. And I'm like, how in the world can you say that? Because I was with my sister when she first met Robert Bass in 2007, and I told her, I said, Gina, get in the car, don't look back, he is bad news. I knew that the moment I met him. And, you know, this man is a preacher. He's supposed to have way more experience, you know, talking to people, trying to reach out, witness to them, and help them. And then he's going to tell me, he said, I did not know your sister had a problem with alcohol. Then the next words out of his mouth were, oh, well, she was about to start Celebrate Recovery. And, you know, I'm like, well, which one is it? Did you not know?
Right.
You
and if she's about to celebrate recovery, then obviously what is she recovering from?
Right.
There
towards the end, I don't know how he couldn't tell about either one of them, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking at an autopsy report telling me my sister was covered in bruises and had fractured ribs, and this man's telling me that she had been coming in and he had been talking to her, you know, and I'm like, how can you not tell?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's something alarming there for this person that's supposed to be leading a church and helping others.
Exactly.
And, you know, now I had family members that were still going to that church, and they just treat them horrible now, so they've stopped going to church there.
That's too bad.
It is. It's just sad.
Do you have other siblings?
I do. I have a sister. I have Diane. I have a stepsister, Cassandra, and I have two stepbrothers, George and Sonny.
Okay. And have they stepped up to try to help with the case or anything?
Well, basically, my niece and I and my nephew, you know, her son and daughter have been trying to take care of all this. I didn't want my mother to have to go through all that additional stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's me being the overprotective type again.
Right. So your mother's still living?
Yes, ma'am, she is.
And what about your father?
No, he's not.
Okay. Yeah, that must have been hard for your mom.
It was, and you know, I try to check on her a good bit. She's a pretty strong woman, though.
Yeah. So, Melinda, what can you tell these young women out here that are involved in domestic violence relationships, or even, you know, as you're familiar with, maybe a relationship that has a lot of alcoholism in it, because
right.
sometimes because of the alcohol turn violent.
Right. Well, they need to know, first off, that's not love, you know. Love's not
right.
going to treat you that way. And second of all, I hear a lot of people say, well, I stay because of the children. They do not give children enough credit. Children can tell when a relationship has tension like that, you know?
Well, and
children
it spoils it even worse to grow up in relationships that are terrible.
Right. And then, you know, some children have enough sense to know not to repeat that process, and some think it's normal. And then you've got little girls growing up like that that thinks it's acceptable for men to hit them because they don't know any difference.
Right.
You know, and you do not have to live that way. You do not have to do it for the children because the children know, you know. I mean, I understand some women are scared. It might be issues of money. They don't think they can do any better. You can. You know, there is hope out there. And
right,
it must
and
be sad.
There's a lot better things than getting beat down every day and talked down
right.
every day.
It must be sad having to live in fear like that every time this person that supposedly loves you is around you, you know? I mean, anytime
right.
they raise their voice or their hand, you're going to cower down. That's got to be a horrible way to live.
It's got to be. I can't even imagine living that way.
Me neither.
But so many people do, you know, as we know. And, you know, it's just really sad.
It really is, you know. And then you've got all these other people, like I said earlier, they just turn a blind eye. They say, well, she must have done something to deserve it, or I'm not getting involved. But,
right.
I mean, you don't have to live that way.
Right. Now, did Gina have any children?
She did. Tiffany's her oldest, and little Robert's her youngest.
Wow. And how are they? How did they take that, and how are they now?
You know, it's day by day. We all have our good days and our bad days. I saw both of them today, you know, because I had to deal with this issue with the police department saying that we were harassing and assaulting a man, which never happened, you know. You know, they're just trying to deal the best they can.
Well, that Melinda, the best thing that I could tell you is go down tomorrow and get a restraining order against him, because obviously he's trying to make you come after him, or he's trying to egg you on or something, and he's trying to put all the blame on you and make you or make himself the victim again, you know. But
right.
I would go and get that restraining order, you know, and like people say, it's just a piece of paper, but you know what, it's a legal piece of paper. And once he oversteps those boundaries, you can continue after him that way.
Right. You know,
I mean,
that's
if
he
did that
I
to your sister and he's staring you down in the street, you know, you need to watch your back too, because one of these days he might come after you or somebody else.
Right. And, you know, I would rather do this the right way, you know, as far as documentation and a paper trail.
Right, exactly.
Even though I said I don't have much faith in that police department in Jackson, but, you know, I've got too much to lose. I would lose my nursing assistant, and all the schooling I've done would be null and void. So, you know.
Exactly.
And he's not worth it.
Right. Nobody's worth it. your livelihood is more important, but you do need to protect yourself, and unfortunately you have to use the legal system to do something, you know, like that legally.
Right.
Well, I'm going to turn the mic back over to Rob for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, once again, Ms. Melinda, we appreciate you coming on the show and getting this message out there. And I just wanted to ask you, now that this incident had happened, how has that affected you as an individual, and not just only as an individual, but as her sister as well?
Well, it's made me realize how strong I was and how much further I need to go as far as having strength. You know, it's made me aware of a lot more things that I should have done differently, that I wish I could have, you know, handled differently. It's definitely kind of given me a kick in the pants to go full speed ahead with my education and, you know, wanting to have a job where I can help women and kids in shelters, because that's my first choice as far as my concentration of study.
Amen. And that's a good thing, you know, because when tragedy happened like this with our loved ones, whether it's through domestic violence or whether it's through someone just has done flat out murdered our family member, you know, that gives us a drive to do something right to make the situation not happen to others. So I just want to commend you for having that strength and having that vision like that to help other women and give back in that tragedy that you and your family has faced.
Right. Thank you. You know, if I can help one other person, my sister's death won't be in vain.
Amen. And that's what time it is, you know. And
right.
is you're going to come up with your own website with helping other women, or how is that going to work, Ms. Belinda, that you're putting together?
I am. I'm working on a website, you know, maybe some brochures. You know, periodically on Facebook, I'll do a status with information, you know, for like Mississippi and nationwide as far as numbers and resources, you know, whatever I can do. And all I can do is hope that someone that needs it reads it and takes that step to get out of a bad relationship.
Amen. And we must continue that, because there's so many people out here globally that's going through this tragedy right now, you know, and every second of the day. And some people, like you said, just get so trapped in the game, and they have to say, well, I got to stay for the kids, or I got to stay because I don't have no job, and I got to stay because I don't have my own money. Well, you have to get educated out here, women. You know, you have to get educated. You have to go to school and get your education. You have to have your own foundation and be able to take care of yourself financially and everything else. You can't depend on no man. You can't depend on any of that, because if the situation don't work with you and the guy, you have to be able to take care of yourself. But you won't say, I can't do this, I can't do that. So we have to step up and take a little bit of responsibility at taking care of ourselves as well. So I want to encourage women out there who's not getting education, who's not got skills, to go back to school and get your skills up so you can take care of yourself. And if you got kids, you can take care of your kids as well. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to take care of yourself. And that's the bottom line.
That's it.
So, what kind of foundation or are you trying to start?
Well, I was looking maybe to do like something a little bit to help homeless people, and also something for domestic violence. You know, it's a slow going process for me right now, because, you know, I work 12 to 14 hours a day, and then my classes just started back today. So it's a slow-going process, but I will get this done, you know?
Right. Now, are you going to try to get your sister's kids involved in that, or your family, or are they interested in helping with anything like that?
I mean, I think they are, you know. I just told them, you know, we're going to take little steps at a time because, like I said, I'm pulled in a lot of different directions right now.
Well, and this just happened, like you said, in March. That's been a few months, and you've had to go through a lot as it is. And, you know, to lose somebody that you love murdered in such a horrible way is, you know, it takes time and healing, and you've got to go through that grieving process. And, you know, I commend you for doing so well and for wanting to, you know, to start something to help women and to speak out. And we really appreciate you coming on the show and speaking out about it, because just speaking out on things will help people.
Right. And, you know, I appreciate y'all more than I can tell you.
Well, we appreciate you and your story, and, you know, we pray for your success, and let us know if there's anything we can do to help you with your foundation to spread your message. We're definitely here to help you get that message out, you know. Violence and murder doesn't need to happen to anybody's sister or anybody's daughter or anybody's mother or anybody's husband, for that matter.
Right.
You know, we know domestic violence, you know, can happen to anyone. But to take it to the point, I mean, it shouldn't happen, period. But to get to the point that you murder someone is just so wrong.
It really is, you know. And this man has a history. And like I said, I don't know what all they allowed the grand jury to look at, but evidently it wasn't much as far as being, you know, in favor of my sister.
Right.
And this man, you know, he thinks, hey, I got away with murder. Let's see what else I can get away with.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just
well,
bad.
Unless you think of his history, he speaks for itself. He's been homeless. He had a girlfriend. He was prostituting her. No telling how many other people he was doing that with, or, you know, if there's any other unsolved mysteries in that area. I mean, I don't know, but if he has a history, there's definitely, you know, some other things that need to be looked into.
Right.
Wow. Well, we just hope that you can keep your head up and be strong and continue to fight for Gina.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Do you have any last words that you want to say tonight? Anything that you want to share?
You know, again, I just don't want, especially these young girls out here these days, to think that that's love, or, you know, because the man acts jealous or wants to hit her, that he must really love me or think she's got to go and get pregnant to keep a man. You know, none of that. It's not worth it. That's not love.
No. Definitely not. Yeah.
That's not love when a person is going to raise their hands to you.
No, you know, and like I said, you know, with that being said, Ms. Belinda, we really, truly appreciate, like I said, you taking the time to come on the show tonight and spread your message. And once again, I want you to let the viewers know about this monster and give his name out again and location, city, and town, and let the people around the world be aware of this is the kind of guy that they're walking among.
Right. His name is Robert Julius Bass. He's a 48-year-old white male. He hangs out around Southside Baptist Church on Raymond Road in Jackson, Mississippi, and I've seen him recently in the downtown area around West Street, Jefferson Street, State Street. You know, I'm assuming he's going to these stew pots around here.
Amen. So we just wanted the viewers to get an update on him. And, you know, be careful of this type of guy because he's out there and he's definitely doing wrong. period, you know? So right. He's not to be trusted.
Not at all. He's a monster.
Amen. So any shout-outs you would like to give anybody, Ms. Melinda, before we depart?
Well, I would just like to tell you once again, happy birthday. Let my mother, Mary Sims, my sister Diane, Tiffany, little Robert and Marty, let them know that I love them.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That sounds like a winner, you know. And thank you again for the birthday wish. And before we get off the air tonight, I would just like to say, if you have not joined our movement site, we ask you to log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And also, if you have not got any one of the books yet, you can log on and purchase The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman book. And the Never Hit a Woman book is about domestic violence. The title says Never Hit a Woman, but you read inside the book, it's about women, children, men all over the country that faces this epidemic as well, you know. And a lot of men don't come out in the open with it because they're ashamed. But it happens to everybody, you know. But the main thing is that, you know, you guys truly have to keep your hands to yourself, period. You know what I mean? And that is the bottom line on that tip, you know. And we just want to educate, you know. So we urge everybody across the country to definitely get a copy of that book and put it in your house to read and put it in your book file. And The Streets Don't Love You Back is educating kids about gangs, drugs, and violence as well. And we urge you to put that on your shelf. And also we have an online store, and you can log on there and see all our clothes that we sell on there, from our sweatsuits to our hoodies to our beanie hats to our golf hats to our short sleeve, long sleeve shirts, the whole nine. So we ask you to just log on and just get involved in what we do to help people across the country, you know, because it's a global epidemic out here. So we just thank everybody for always tuning in, and I'll pass the mic over.
All right, once again, Melinda, we thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your story, and we hope that it touches somebody, and maybe more people will even step up to try to help you with your foundation once you get that going. But definitely keep us updated and informed about what you're doing so we can also help you spread that message. And
yes, ma'am.
We are going to go out tonight with a song, The Streets Don't Love You Back remix, and this song is on our soundtrack, The Streets Don't Love You Back, that goes along with our book and the foundation of our movement, The Streets Don't Love You Back. So we're going to go out tonight with The Streets Don't Love You Back. Have a great week. Please join us back here every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. And always remember, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with The Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug/drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to. But no, these streets, they don't love you. They don't love you.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they ain't sitting on death row, baby. That's where you wanna be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you wanna do, baby. So join the movement. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love
yeah,
if
yeah.
you want.
This track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across the state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. God, he caught up in moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born. We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true is us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. They just slander and lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and find out how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, don't you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on,
it's all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that traffic knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LG. Let's do it. 100. Out.